And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. A former Juneau chiropractor accused of sexual assault now has a public defender. More than a dozen former patients have accused Jeffrey Foltz of sexual assault under the guise of medical care while he worked at Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. Last month, his trial ended in a mistrial on 14 counts of felony assault and 2 not guilty counts. The state is pushing forward to retry the remaining charges that are eligible to be considered again. Foltz's new lawyer will be a public defender. People accused of crimes are generally eligible for a public defender if they can't afford a private lawyer. At a hearing this week, prosecutor Kristen Tendy said that Foltz is living in an expensive home in Colorado that he purchased for $900,000, and his high housing payments don't make him eligible for a public defender.
He is choosing to spend over $5,500 a month on housing. I think there is a very, very big difference between somebody being unable to pay in terms of they've leveraged themselves and somebody who is truly indigent.
But Judge Larry Wolford ruled that Foltz does qualify, despite his financial situation.
It is certainly true that on paper, in some ways, the defendant is a man of some substance. It is also unquestionably true that he has, for many years now, been dealing with the legal consequences of the allegations against him, and that he has spent a significant amount of money doing so.
Foltz disclosed that he has just under $200,000 in assets between his house and his vehicles. But Wolford argued that those assets are not easy to sell to pay legal fees. A status hearing, when all parties meet with the judge to determine next steps in a case, is scheduled for October 15th. Juneau is mulling over how to prepare for next year's glacial outburst flood. The city's temporary levee protected most Mendenhall Valley neighborhoods from a record-breaking flood this summer. But it needs repairs and potentially some upgrades. And now the U.S. government shutdown could complicate the city's decision-making process. KTOO's Alex Solomon has more.
City staff presented the big questions about how to protect Valley neighborhoods from flooding to Juneau Assembly members during a committee meeting Monday. The questions include how high to build a levee for next year, whether to expand it, whether to sponsor a buyout program for those left unprotected, and how to pay for those projects. Deputy City Manager Robert Barr says the answers to some of those questions will depend on federal information and funding that might be delayed by the U.S. government shutdown.
That's what we'll be working on over the next week, is figuring out kind of who's still at the table, who still can be at the table, and trying to kind of keep things moving as best as we can.
This year, the city's temporary levee protected most homes in the flood zone. But Barr says the model that projected how it would perform wasn't entirely correct.
We certainly saw things in real life this summer that the model did not predict. And we got a little bit lucky with the height of the HESCOs and where things landed.
The levee leaked, flooding a couple dozen homes. And the city's memo to assembly members says floodwater flowed over the top of the levee in some sections. So one question is, how high should they build it? Experts won't be able to forecast the height of the next glacial outburst flood until it's underway. But the floods have grown over the past 3 years. And Barr says they won't be able to make an educated guess about how high to build the levee until researchers publish the data from this year's flood. Aaron Jacobs is a hydrologist at the National Weather Service in Juneau. He says the agency is exempt from the federal furloughs that began Wednesday. That's because its work is deemed essential for public safety.
The Weather Service work is going to go on, so our analysis and our work of looking at the data and forecasting the events and stuff like that, that's still going to go forward.
The flood science team is made up of federal workers at the National Weather Service and the U.S. Geological Survey, and scientists at the University of Alaska Southeast. Jason Anmundson is a glaciologist at UAS. He says the university's flood researchers haven't been affected by the shutdown. But he says one of his colleagues at USGS went up to Suicide Basin Tuesday to maintain the monitoring equipment before agency staff were furloughed.
Sort of anticipating that there would be a government shutdown, so he was able to get up and make sure the cameras were up and running and should be hopefully good to go through the winter.
Amundsen says he thinks his team will be able to get data to city decision makers on time, but that could depend on how long the shutdown lasts. The second big question is how to pay for the levee's ongoing maintenance. The stacked baskets of sand called HESCO barriers sustained an estimated $1 million of damage in the August flood. Barr says the way the city paid for construction in the first place might not be the best way to pay for upkeep. The third major question is whether to extend the temporary levy to protect more properties. A proposed phase two of the HESCO project would expand the levy to stretch from Backloop Bridge to just before the airport. Barr says a levy expansion would be much more expensive than phase one because the riverbanks would need more boulders to armor against erosion.
There's a much larger number of properties that aren't already sufficiently armored.
And city staff say that getting help through federal funding ahead of the next flood will depend on how long the shutdown lasts and what funding is still available when it ends. But there's another potential project that could expand flood protection. City Manager Katie Kester said the Army Corps is talking about a solution that could come sooner than its original 7 to 10 year timeline.
Army Corps of Engineers is really racing towards a much an expedited, I guess we'll call it a midterm solution rather than a enduring solution.
She says construction could start a couple of years from now, but moving that quickly would restrict the opportunity for public feedback, and the project still depends on continued federal funding. Since the government shut down, city staff say they don't know where that plan stands now. Finally, the fourth major question is whether to sponsor a federal buyout program for View Drive, the street that's been hit hardest by flooding and is left unprotected by the city's levy. A buyout would pay residents to leave, demolish their homes, and transform the land into a park. If all 18 eligible properties participated, it would cost around $25 million. If the Juneau Assembly votes to sponsor it, the city would have to pay around $6 million. Federal staff working on this project have been furloughed due to the shutdown and were unable to respond to requests for comment. The city plans to hold a special assembly meeting to discuss these questions in detail on October 30th. City staff say final decisions won't be made until December. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And it's been over 3 years since one of Juneau's elementary schools had a functioning library. The school's librarian has been running its collection of books out of cardboard boxes after major flooding. But the school has been able to build and modernize its library for this school year. KTLO's Jamie Deep stopped by during recess and has more.
Davin Savico wears a lot of hats at Kahtaguhin Elementary School. In addition to teaching integrated arts, he's also the librarian. And the library looks really, really different this year. During a recent visit, Savico and a student demonstrate how to check out books at the school's new library during recess.
Find your name. Okay, he's got it. He scans his name, and then he just scans the book, and we're done.
Students file in and out freely to browse the stacks. Savico walks around and points out handmade signs marking different sections and genres, from spooky stories to historical fiction and staff pics. Sunshine streams through stained glass windows, lighting up the Everybody Books section of the library. Picture books fill cubby-like shelves on top, with books filed in a traditional manner on lower shelves.
It was really cool to get these new bins like you see at the public library that are accessible for young kids. Before, it was just everything looked spines out, and it was just really overcrowded.
The school closed temporarily in 2022 after flooding from burst pipes. While students could go back to the school a couple months later, the library needed more repairs. Instead of bookshelves, books sat in cardboard boxes that Savico dug through as needed. The school received the final insurance reimbursement earlier this year, and about $94,000 went toward buying materials for the library. Between waiting on insurance payouts and getting supplies, it took more than 3 years to reopen the library.
Imagine like 3 years of dread just looking at these boxes and knowing like you don't really have the power to do anything with them. I didn't have the shelving. We didn't have the insurance money, et cetera. And so now it's just so freeing to have this really beautiful space that I am really proud of.
Shortly after the flood, Savico turned half of the library into an integrated arts classroom. Students learn different art skills and connect it with what they're learning in classes. Savico says it's built as a fluid space where students can come and go. But there was a bit of confusion when the library first reopened. He says many students didn't know how a library worked.
So they'll be like, how much does this book cost? You know, and things like that. And so it's like, well, at the library, books are for free. You get to check out books. So I'm really excited to give them this opportunity that they deserve.
Savico says the library can support classroom teachers by being a space for students to explore their interests. Since the Alaska Reads Act passed in 2023, Savico says teachers have more focused skills to teach. While teachers can build in more flexible time in their days, Savico says the library is a place that's well-suited to support students on that front.
The kids want two things. They want a choice in their education, and they want to have a voice in their education. And so this allows them, you know, choice, and then the, you know, how we work with them allows them to share what they know in their voice.
Principal Katie Koski says it was a community effort in the school to get the library back together. The previous principal helped to work out the insurance settlement. In the meantime, teachers kept classroom libraries, and students would also go to the Mendenhall Valley Public Library nearby with their class. Koski says she's excited to see what students can do in the new space.
The library in many ways can be like the heart of a school.
And now that heart is beating again. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And funding has lapsed for the federal government. A short-term bill to keep government agencies going failed in the Senate Tuesday, so a shutdown began Wednesday at midnight. Both Alaska senators voted for the stopgap spending bill to continue funding while Congress works on a longer-term bill. It got 55 votes, but needed 60. President Donald Trump is threatening mass layoffs. And Senator Lisa Murkowski says by not passing a spending bill, Congress is giving Trump free rein.
When you're in a shutdown, you do not have equal branches of government. You just don't. The legislative branch has just kind of ceded this.
State Democrats are holding out to get Republicans to agree to continue health care subsidies for millions of Americans. Some of the subsidies are due to expire at the end of December, which will double or triple the monthly costs for millions of Americans who buy marketplace plans. Murkowski would also like to continue insurance subsidies that some 25,000 Alaskans depend on. But she says negotiations went nowhere last week, so Tuesday she voted for the bill to keep the government operating. Key functions of government will continue through the shutdown, including mail service and Social Security payments. Some federal employees, like the military and law enforcement, are deemed essential and have to work without pay until Congress agrees on a spending bill. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 46 degrees and raining. This is KTOO.